And I'm trying to read this way across from here, and I'm old and my glasses aren't working so well. Organizing for pro-gun election and referendum victories. Gentlemen?
We've all agreed to cut our remarks a bit short to try and get us back on schedule a bit. One of the things I do a lot is sift through significant amounts of polling data of all kinds, not just directly on the gun issue, but things with politics in general, because lots of times there's other things that involve the matrix that determine who wins elections and who loses elections. In the upcoming 2014 midterm elections, there are really five matrix to watch. Unfortunately, guns is not one of those matrix. Where we're going to come into play is in a lot of the close elections, the 1% or 2% difference in who wins and who loses is who we turn out and what we do on the gun issue. So we have a very important role to play, and we're going to be very instrumental in what goes on. But for national trends, we're not one of those matrix. The five matrix to watch for the 2014 elections. One is the presidential job approval ratings in the polls. The lower Obama is, the better chance our guys are going to win. The second one is consumer confidence. The lower consumer confidence is, the better chance we're going to have to win too. The third one is Obamacare. The more people opposing Obamacare, the better chance that our candidates are probably going to win who support gun rights. The third matrix, or the fourth matrix to look at, is the Democratic/Republican Party favorability ratings. Whichever party has the higher favorability ratings tends to going to do better in the election no matter what. Right now, that particular thing is about even, dead even. Usually, if it's a dead even, it means Republicans pick up a few seats, Democrats lose a few seats, because Republican voter turnout tends to be higher. Then the other one is the generic congressional ballot test. When you just ask, you know, who are you going to vote for, a Democrat or a Republican for Congress? And right now, that one's been fluctuating like Looney Tunes, from Democrats up 5 points to the Republicans being up 5 points weekly. It just goes back and forth, back and forth. Those are the five matrix you're going to really, you need to really watch to really determine what's going to really happen in the elections. Minus the fact you have to look at what districts, you know, most of these districts are carved out in Congress and U.S., you know, for Congress in particular, that most of them aren't competitive. So no matter what, you know, we're not going to gain seats in New York City or downtown Chicago. In the upcoming elections right now, based on all the polling data, the Republicans have 205 safe seats in Congress. The Democrats have 163 safe seats. You can take those off the board because they're not going to change hands. Likely or leaning seats, the Republicans are 28 likely or leaning to the Republicans, 29 to the Democrats. Toss-up or worse, where an incumbent is no way he's going to get reelected, there's one Republican in real trouble, and there's nine Democrats in real trouble. What would look right now at on the House side, that would give you what you would assume right now would be a pickup of some Republican seats, which probably means they're going to be pro-gun candidates, not anti-gun candidates. In the United States Senate, the Democrats have 52 seats right now, and the Republicans have 46, and there's two independents that vote with the Democrats. If you take a look at where those are right now, there's four seats that go from toss-up to likely or lean Republican. There's four seats that probably Republicans will pick up. Pryor in Arkansas, Baucus in Montana, Rockefeller's seat in West Virginia, and Johnson's in South Dakota. Four seats to pick up, and you'd have a dead even heat, and Vice President Biden would keep Obama in control of the United States Senate. But there's some lean seats on that Democrats have that could be in trouble. Beckage in Alaska, Harkin in Iowa, Landrieu in Louisiana, Levin in Michigan, Franken in Minnesota, and Hagan in North Carolina. If the Republicans picked up the other four, any one of those, they would be in control. If the Republicans are in control, no bills on guns are going to get hurt. So we have a good chance. And in those races that are in the lean Democrat one categories, gun owners are going to determine, despite the matrix, probably who's going to win or lose in those races by turnout by an extra couple points. So we have a really good chance of making the Senate pro-gun, so to speak. That's the good news. In the governor's races, things are very stagnant. Democrats hold 20 seats, the Republicans hold 30 governorships. There's only a few races that are toss-ups, and there's only a few races that are leans. Virtually probably the governor races are going to be a dead heat, and overall there'll be no real changes. As of today, that's the playing field. Again, the five matrix that I referenced up front are really going to determine if there's any real shifts one way or the other that would shift any of that data. At this juncture, I think the matrix are pretty locked and solid. They haven't really shifted a whole lot. The odds are, unless something happens beyond our control that we don't know about, which always could happen in politics, and between now and Election Day 2014, a lot can happen. But as of today, we have a very good shot of shutting down on the federal level all the gun control. But it's really going to depend a whole lot on gun owner turnout, turning out the extra 1% or 2% in an election that will be the margin of difference.
I'm going to jump around with a bunch of little things here. You've heard it before today, and you'll hear it probably again. Good afternoon, gun lobby.
Good afternoon. You
are the gun lobby. You are our movement. There is no anti-gun rights policy conference in the country. There's a difference. Let's go back to what Alan was just talking about, the elections coming up. Something to recall. In 1999, we had the shooting in Columbine. A month later, riding on the emotion of what happened, they rammed through legislation or tried to ram through legislation in Congress. There was a gun show bill required universal background checks at gun shows. The vote in the U.S. Senate was 50-50. Vice President Al Gore cast the deciding vote. Guess which way he went? The good news is it went over to the House. And there was an interesting split in the House. One of the issues was the three-day delay. Gun shows generally don't last 3 days. What are we going to do about that? So the way the House bill was written, a gun could be delivered. A delay would only last for 2 days or for 24 hours, and you could have the gun delivered. Well, a bunch of hardcore anti-gun Democrats weren't about to go for that, weren't about to allow that. A bunch of hardcore pro-gun, I'm sorry, Alan Corwin, pro-gun Republicans weren't about to go for it at all, any kind of a waiting period. So the bill failed. The whole thing collapsed. But the bottom line is the numbers are critical, and when you think you have control by one or two seats, or in the case of the House, a dozen or 15 seats, it ain't that easy. The other side, you had a whole panel on mayors against the illegal guns, or specifically on Mayor Bloomberg. Mayors Against the Illegal Guns is a cover. It gives Bloomberg cover. This is all Michael Bloomberg's ego and Michael Bloomberg's money. He claims to have 1,000 mayors as part of the Mayors Against the Illegal Guns. He claims to have 1.5 million grassroots members. That's garbage. One, he's losing a lot of mayors. One, because a lot of them go into prison on corruption charges. Two, because a lot of them have come to realize that they're being used, they're being exploited to allow Bloomberg to push his agenda, and they're quitting. You've got new organizations, other old organizations, Legal Committee Against Violence, a bunch of lawyers in San Francisco that are pushing legislation, model legislation all across the country. You've got things like the Joyce Foundation. These are not grassroots movements. These are a bunch of elites who have a lot of money at their disposal, and they're pumping it into races. They're pumping it into campaigns to promote gun control. It's not grassroots. How many members does the Brady campaign really have? It's very small. And same with all the other gun control groups. Washington, where I spent the last 15 years, we've got 1 million gun owners statewide. We have 100,000 NRA members. Washington ceasefire at last count had something like 3,500 members. Our strength is grassroots, but we have to act. The activist side of the House has to act to get those votes out there. There's a new group that has come up, Americans for Responsible Solutions. Again, it's a PAC. It's not a membership organization. It doesn't represent any numbers. This is former Arizona Representative Gabby Giffords and her husband, former astronaut Mark Kelly. And after the incident that occurred in Tucson a couple of years ago, Gabby is on her gun control horse, and she's out to rid the world of whatever she feels shouldn't be out there on the gun arena. The bad news is she's collected $6.5 million so far. She's got money to put into races. We've got to counter that money with enthusiasm on the ground, votes. Our job, my job as a gun activist in many cases, recognize a lot of gun owners are union members, and their shop stewards are telling them, you've got to vote Democrat. Democrats have got to get the votes. Our power is with the Democrats. My job as an activist is to peel off votes from those Democrat union families, because the Democrats do not represent their interest on guns. And if guns are important to them, the bottom line is every one of you needs to go home and start preaching, start proselytizing. Make sure that come the election next fall, one of the reasons that we lost the election last year was because a lot of people stayed home. We can't afford that to happen again. We can't afford it to happen in the 2014 midterm elections. We can't afford it to happen in the 2016 presidential election. So it's your job to get out there and show your friends, your coworkers, your shooting buddies that the grassroots is our strength. We have got to get the grassroots out. Get your families out. Get your cousins out, your extended families. But you've got to vote, and you've got to vote on this issue. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Richard Pearson. I'm from Illinois, and I'm going to tell you that it can be done. Okay. When I'm going to talk about things briefly, and I'll be at the cocktail party like everybody else, talking to each other, I suppose. But anyway, none of these things are not in order of importance. All these things have to be starting to occur at once. What Joe said was you have to activate the base. Well, you have to build the base. You can't organize nothing. You have to have people out there to organize. So from this minute forward, right now, this second, when you get home, I want you to start thinking about everybody you know that you can talk to and start developing a grassroots organization, a grassroots movement for the 2014 election. Michael Bloomberg's got billions, but we got hands and feet. And that's always been the key. But we can't have them stay home, as Joe said. But you have to activate them. You can't call them 2 weeks before the election and say, hey, Joe, you want to go out and vote on the election? Well, I forgot to register or whatever, you know. So you have to build that right away. Now, most of my experience comes from the state side, so I'm always looking at state reps, state senators, gubernatorial races, those sorts of things. So while you're organizing this, you need to look back at the last election results. And you need to pick out some districts that were won by a narrow margin, 2-3%. Now, they might be won by the anti-gunners, or they might be won by the pro-gunners. But whatever those districts are, you have to target those districts. Because there's no sense, you know, if I go into District 1 in the city of Chicago, that's the place that Barack Obama got 100% of the votes. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have too much success. So there's no sense wasting time on that one. All right? If I go to another district in Galesburg, Illinois, Don Moffitt only got 87% of the vote. There's no sense wasting time on that one either. And he's a pro-gun guy. Not that we don't tip our hat to him. We help him any way we can. But the fact is, I need to concentrate on those districts that had a 2 or 3% margin either way. After identifying those districts, you know, if it's an anti-gun person, you know, that's a good place to concentrate and concentrate your resources, because you haven't got unlimited resources. You haven't got unlimited time. You haven't got unlimited money. You don't have a lot of that, but you need to put power in those districts that can be won. You also have to put power in those districts that can be lost. So you concentrate your efforts in those districts that are on the margin. They're sitting right on the fence. Because if you can change 2 or 3 of those districts, save 2 or 3 of those districts, that message gets out. You know, you've made a decision. If you look at the votes, you look at the votes in the Illinois legislature, you know, you have 71 votes for an override. Do you get an override if you get 70 votes? Nah, you get a nasty old also-ran. But if you get 72 votes, you got the override, or 71. These things are thin margins that we're working with. So you have to identify those districts. How do you do that? You go to the local election commission in the state or wherever, whatever you call it in your particular state, and you get those results from the 2012 elections and see where everybody is and start identifying those people. The other thing is that we make a mistake many times in that we don't concentrate on Democratic legislators. When Illinois, we started taking out everybody that wanted to go shooting, every staff member that wanted to go shooting, you know, and we took them out, and we couldn't give them a lesson in Illinois, so we had to charge them $5. So we gave them a basic pistol class for $5, and we took them out shooting. It's not long before on every file cabinet door, there are all these targets hanging around, you know. Much of the chagrin of some of the legislators. But by the same token, if you concentrate on the staff of these legislators, you can make some real progress. So you have to take those people and you have to educate them. And just because they say no, that's just one more no toward a yes. So you start working on those people. And I think in the House on the override, I think we put on 89 votes out of 117. Okay, now we had some court help here, but by the same token, we kept building our margins, one or two at a time. So take those ideas, start working with them. So when you go home, call the election commission in your state or whatever it is, and get those votes, look them up online, and then start looking at the people that you know in that district and start developing those people. So we have to do that. And don't sell short Democrats. There's a lot of Democratic people who are union people or tradesmen, workers, and that sort of thing. They're very pro-gun. If they go tell their Democratic representative that they want them to vote pro-gun, and enough people tell them that, they will. One of the things that we are always looking for is the pure, perfect candidate. Let me tell you something. If you have a pure, perfect candidate that can't get elected, it don't mean anything. If you got a pretty good candidate that can get elected, that's a big help. So those are my tips of the week, and I'll see you at the reception tonight.